just my heart. Jump in, stay a while.
Wow, what a great quote.
It is a great quote, said by the very thoughtful Casey Kale.
Ah, Casey.
Who was maybe the number one weirdo I've ever seen on this show.
What a weird character he is.
You know what? We're kind of weird characters, aren't we?
A little bit, yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, and you know, we as weird characters do an unweird podcast, I would say. Before we talk about the latest installment of The Greatest Seasons Ever with Ali Fedotowsky. Is that how you say it?
Yes, that is how you say it.
I'm going to mess up that name again at some point. We've got big, big, huge, ginormous news.
Huge news. And that news is that The Bachelorette, who we all knew was Claire, started filming. We all knew they finally started filming. Super exciting. Well, then, apparently, after 2 weeks of filming, Claire quit.
Less than, it was 12 days.
She fell in love. She said, I'm not filming, locked herself in her room, and she quit.
And so what they're going to do instead is they're going to just drop in a new bachelorette, someone we know, someone I know.
Tayshia Adams herself.
So this...
I have so many feelings about this.
Well, let's get into that. This is unprecedented, right? This has never happened before.
It's never happened. It's so strange to me that, I mean, I always figured, like, I've always thought this, like, what if someone's in there and they're like, no, I know who I want to be with, like, we're done. Would they keep going? Like, I've thought this so many times before where I'm like, you know, like, what would you do if you knew that soon? And I guess we know the answer is to quit. But I've heard that there's been actually been some backlash from, like, previous bachelorettes that are like, if I knew that was a choice, I would have quit too, because I know who I liked in, you know, week three or week two.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think the circumstances of all this make the situation a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think, it feels like they kind of knew that this might happen.
I feel like so too. I feel like everyone kind of predicted that this something like this might happen.
Because they had this worked out pretty quickly that Tayshia was going to jump in.
They must have had a backup. There's just no way.
It almost makes you wonder if they always have a backup for the season. Like,
they might. I mean, for like when Colton jumped the fence, like, would they have brought in someone else? If he didn't come
for the last two women, they're probably not.
I mean, not for two, but like, you know, when things like that happen, do they have a backup? Maybe that's a good question, actually.
So I was listening to a different Bachelor podcast. I'm not going to name it because you really shouldn't listen to ones that are.
No, definitely.
I just do it to just hate on the other ones that are out there. But someone on it, and it's actually someone who's been on this show before, posited that, you know, she had time to kind of research some of these guys on the internet because of the delay and everything. So I think she kind of figured out who she liked or who she wanted to be with, you know, based on what she was able to find out either through profiles or even like DMs and stuff. I don't really know how she did it, but
I wonder if she had communication with any of them. Like, I mean, she knew who they were. I wonder if she, I don't know. I'm curious if any relationship started beforehand, since weirdly enough, she would have had the time to look them up.
Yeah.
I know some has changed. Some of the people like end up not coming to the filming that were actually picked.
I think there were like 40 different people that they had as like, hey, these are cast members.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's a lot. So yeah, I think ultimately I like the theory that she was able to research, kind of nail down who she wanted. There was obviously some compatibility there when they were in the Bachelor bubble.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's too fast. You know,
12 days. I mean,
you get in these quarantine, like, first of all, 12 days. The normal Bachelor season is fast for love. 12 days is
12 days? When you're dating 29 or whatever other people, that is wild.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just feel like the quarantine relationship, you just get into it and you're like, yeah, this is awesome. And then like, oh, fucking the quarantine. Like, of course we just went into it quickly. So
do you speak from experience, or are you just assuming this is what happens with people?
No idea what you're talking about.
No, but really, it's very strange how I really want to see how this plays out and how many episodes worth of content the Claire portion is. It can't be more than like a few episodes.
I think it's going to be two.
Yeah, I was going to guess three. Like, I mean, but it can't be more than really that.
Especially because I don't think it's going to be interesting because there's going to be other people.
Yeah.
There that she just scoffs off and just it's this one person. So I think it's two. And I think Tayshia will come in episode three. But how do you feel about Tayshia being the replacement?
I feel mixed about it. I mean, you always really liked Tayshia, and I was not a big fan of Tayshia on Colton season.
Yeah.
I liked her more in Paradise.
Okay.
Like I did, but I was not a big fan. So I'm not sure.
I think she's going to be great. I guess, like you said, huge fan. Her relationship with JPJ.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that made me like her a lot better. I think Paradise is, I feel like sometimes when you watch the season, you're like, eh, on people. And then when you see them on Paradise, you get to actually know them better.
I think Colton's season did a disservice to almost every woman on that show. That's because you never got to see any of their true personality.
I feel like Tayshia did some like bus throwing, like under the bus throwing on Colton season. But then I also feel like everyone else was kind of shady too on Colton season. And then in Paradise, I liked her, and I liked her with JPJ, and like that whole storyline was so cool. And I don't know, like their whole story was cool.
I think she's got a good head on her shoulders. I think she's well composed.
She's stunning. I will say she's literally stunning.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And she'll be fun. I'm curious as to how the guys are going to react.
That's what I think is weird, especially because, not that this matters, but it kind of doesn't mean the age difference. Like, you went in knowing, like, I'm going for a 38-year-old bachelorette woman. Like, that's who I'm going for. And then not only is it switched out with someone that you did not go on the show for,
yeah,
but it's someone dramatically younger.
Yeah. So I'm curious about that. I'm almost more curious, though, as to how they're going to operate within, because they're staying at a resort, the La Quinta Resort in Palm Springs.
Yeah, and they can't travel internationally, at least. Yeah.
And when I first heard it was the La Quinta, I was like, wait, they're staying the same $70 a night hotel that Bernie Sanders stays at on tour? Like, that's insane. That's so cool. Different one, a little bit more fancy.
Yeah.
Also, it's hot as balls in Palm Springs.
Can't even imagine. Yeah, oh my God, it's got to be so hot. I'm curious how the whole thing is going to play out. This whole season is about to be so weird, and I kind of just want it to air already so we can be like, what's going on?
Yeah. But
speaking of what's going on, there's also now been rumors and whatever that Hannah Ann is also just arrived in the place they're filming The Bachelorette.
Yeah, so what do you think this means? Because I can't even think of a guess.
I honestly don't know, because like it's not like they, like sometimes they bring in like a friend or whatever. Like Hannah Ann is not, and Tayshia are from.
To our knowledge, they haven't crossed paths.
Yeah, so I'm like, that seems interesting. Is it two bachelorettes? Are we just like doing one of the, you know, that sometimes when there's like a TV show and they're launching a new TV show and it just like goes right into the next one and you don't even know you're watching a new show?
Yes.
Have you ever seen that happen before? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Do you actually?
I'm watching Bones on TNT and it goes right into the NCIS New Orleans and I can't even tell the difference.
But like, are we doing that with like Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise? Like, is this going to go like all of a sudden? That's what I'm wondering, if it's going to merge into Bachelor in Paradise and that's why they're bringing these other people.
Look, I know this is a podcast and people can't see my face.
I might have just done something there.
I think you just blew my mind.
Because like, I'm just...
And she's great for Paradise. That makes tons of sense.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, I wonder if they're going to be like, hey, we're bringing in Tayshia. And then like, it just kind of seamlessly just transitions right into Bachelor in Paradise. I don't know. Could happen.
Wow. I don't know. That's crazy. So I'm definitely curious as to how or if Hannah Ann plays into this at all. It might be some sort of red herring.
It could be, but I don't know. I'm intrigued.
I'm also just curious, like, the functionality of the Bachelor bubble. Where do they go? What do they do?
I have so many questions. I can't wait to
know.
I can't wait for like new Bachelor content. Like, at this point, I don't even care who it's on it or what it is or where it is. I like just need a new Bachelor content to watch.
And I wonder if they're gonna bring in like country stars again.
Oh my God.
Well, apparently Chase Rice that dumbass like 2 weeks ago put on a concert for 4,000 people.
I saw that. Not a good look for Chase Rice.
What a jabroni. So yeah, there's going to be so many elements that we're used to that we're
so many
stripped out of this. We're not going to go to Tahiti or to Bangkok. I don't know.
No, nowhere.
So I don't know. It'll be super interesting. Do you think Claire proposed or the other guy proposed, or they're just like,
feel like no. Okay. Like, I feel like maybe it was just like a, hey, I know that you're the one, like, let's go date.
Okay.
I feel like that's more of the direction that we're in.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to start sometime September, October-ish on Tuesdays.
The sooner the better. I'm ready.
I know. It's almost here, Allison. Don't worry.
Another quick Bachelor news. This actually broke like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, really?
So you might not actually even know this. Becca Kufrin, who was the Bachelorette right before Colton,
okay,
came from Becca's season. He was, because she's good friends with Tia and all that. What?
From the book we read. Colton's book.
Yes, from Colton's book. And her and Garrett, who are engaged and have been together since then, they just broke up. Literally, it was posted like 10 minutes ago.
Look, man, here's the thing with quarantine. You either... you lock down and you're like, yeah, this is the person, or you find out, no.
Well, and I think it's more than that, because I don't know if you've seen any of this, but I guess from what I understand, Garrett made some pretty questionable comments regarding the racial inequality issues that America has been very much facing lately, and it was pretty insensitive, and people were pretty pissed off about some of the stuff he said. And Rachel Lindsay, who's actually co-hosts with Becca for a podcast, mm-hmm, was like, he's a piece of shit, I hate him, I'll never talk to him again. And they're like best friends and they do a podcast together, and right, Rachel has been very, very vocal about like, he's literally a piece of shit, I hate him, and like Becca knows that I hate him. And like last week they were like, well, do you know if they're still together? And she was like, I'm not going to comment on that. And so it's seeming like no.
In that case, good for Becca.
But there are some, I remember when it was her season, and like some past tweets he had that were kind of questionable, like came to light, and he was like, look, these are years ago, I've grown, blah, blah, whatever. And she chose to, you know, move past that. But now it's coming to light that maybe that is not the case. And he is not.
Here's the thing. If you're going to go on this show, you got to make sure that your Twitter...
Oh, my God. Scrub your freaking Twitter history. Like, what are you doing?
Like...
You don't just delete your Twitter. Like...
No. You can't do that. Twitter's too good.
Don't even be on it.
But, like, for a personal example, when... when I was doing the Bachelor Live on Stage tour, whatever the fuck it was called,
yeah, which
we got to the, we'll say the semifinal round of casting...
We're
pretty close to making it because you were my agent.
We were a team.
I went through my Twitter and everything was good, except for a joke about coronavirus in like December, where it was like, goes great with Lyme disease. And I was like, oh, that's like, that didn't age well.
Before it got like,
it was literally
super intense.
Because I got some CNN update on my phone and I didn't know any better. So,
no, well, I mean, yeah, it's, yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that probably wouldn't have even been that big of a deal, but like, you have to, I mean, you can't be too careful.
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah. So.
People will find it. It's out there, it'll be found.
Yeah. Someone who I don't think has had any social media issues is Ali Fedotowsky.
I love watching your face as you try to like mentally connect your mouth and your brain to say your last name.
I know.
It's not even her name now that she's married, but.
Oh, that's what she is to me. Always, yeah, has been.
Ali Fedotowsky.
Okay. So she was the greatest seasons ever.
Yep.
I guess the qualification for the greatest season ever for her was, and Chris said this word probably 30 times last night. I say last night, it was on Monday and we're doing this on Thursday night, was man drama.
Oh my God. Yes.
How many times he said man drama?
So many times.
You ever been like witness to man drama before?
I mean, nothing like that.
Yeah. No, I as a man, I've never been in the man drama. No,
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if Allie season is the greatest season of all time.
Well, let's get into it.
I don't know if half of these are, because I would like to know who voted on it.
Well, yeah.
Like, where's Jason Mesnick's season? That was dramatic. Let's watch that.
Well, that's next week.
Oh my gosh. I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's drama. Like, that's what we want to see. Some of these other ones, it's like, Jason Mesnick's, okay. That was one of the most dramatic ones of all time. Like, let's watch that. Yeah. Allie's was like, fine. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. When I watched this, I kind of enjoyed the journey that we went on. I thought Allie was great. Like, I think she is a very normal, down-to-earth person. Low-key looks like Jessica Simpson.
Interesting.
Like, there's differences in the eyes, I think, but, like, face and just body structure looks kind of the same.
Yeah.
I thought the cast of guys amongst all the man drama was at least interesting.
No, it was very interesting.
Some of the guys, like, I feel like this day and age, like the 2009, 2010, if I could transport my current self now back to that time, I feel like I match some of those guys. I mean, obviously there's folks on there for sure, but like Frank, for example, in terms of the looks, and like some of the other dudes were just like, whatever. So I think I would have thrived in early 2010s Bachelor World.
Okay, all right.
That's my prime.
Okay, all right, good to know. I like Allie. I just think she's cute and she's fun and she's just like nice. I don't know. She's a good choice for Bachelorette. She was a good choice for Bachelorette 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes, it was 10 years ago. But, I mean, she's nice. I like Allie. I always have. Because then she went on to be an E! News correspondent. And we know how I feel about E! News and how much I love.
You love E! News.
Entertainment News. And she ended up being a correspondent for them for a while. So I watched her on there. I like her a lot.
Yeah. I totally knew that she did that.
Yeah, for sure. Totally.
So let's get into some of the man drama.
Do you ever sit there when I like list off these random facts about people who were the Bachelorette 10 years ago and you're like, why do you know that?
No, because I possess knowledge that's weird too. There are many times where I say something.
Oh, I know.
Why did that come out of your mouth, you stupid idiot?
I don't know if I say it quite that aggressively, but I do feel like sometimes I'm just like spouting off like previous Bachelor like facts and I'm like, oh my God, I need to like get a life that's not just knowing everything that happened on The Bachelor.
I could do the same thing with the Dave Matthews Band. So.
That's fair.
Okay, so I think the most compelling drama came from our boys, Rated R.
Rated R, what a treat.
Casey Kale,
mm-hmm.
And the dichotomy between those two. So let's get into Rated R a little bit first.
Okay.
So everyone kind of thought that, like, he wasn't there for the right reasons.
Yep.
And that's a safe assumption to make. Like, he's a professional wrestler. Right? He's ripping it open, saying Rated R. Honestly, though, I didn't think that part was, like, disingenuous. Like,
no, I thought it was just stupid. It was just his little weird, you know, gimmick that he did, and it was fine.
And it's a way to stand out. It's a way to draw attention. So, like, I was very cool. Like, I truly didn't mind him that much.
And he was milking the injury a little bit, but, like, there's been so many people that have done that on the show. It was just kind of like, okay, whatever.
I mean, to be fair, like, he came in on crutches. Like, that was night one.
Yeah. And she seemed to like him. She even said, like, the other guys in the house don't like him, but, like, I like him.
And there's always that one guy, I think, that
always
that doesn't like, and the girl or the lead just keeps him around for a little bit longer than they should.
Luke P.
Yeah, that one was way too long.
Yeah.
The fact that he was on crutches or in a boot the whole season just made it funny.
It was.
Obviously, it's not funny when people get hurt, but in this situation, it's hilarious to me.
But you know what's not hilarious?
Pulling a Jed.
That he had a girlfriend the whole time at home. He didn't even deny it, but just like walked away.
Not a cool move.
No, he is a total dick move.
So I didn't know that there was like a Jed before Jed, because this guy was Jedden before Jed with Jedden.
There's honestly been a ton. I think the Jed was the most dramatic just because like that's who she ended up with.
Yeah.
Like there's been plenty of people who like, oh, you have a girlfriend at home. I mean, that I've seen that happen tons of times, but never to the extent of Jed, as in, like, you literally get engaged to someone and then 2 days later find out that they had a girlfriend the whole time.
Yeah. And yeah, he was the ire of the household. And Casey, bless his heart, said, it's like Mr. Jekyll and Hyde. First of all, homie, it's Dr. Jekyll. He went to med school. And then just Mr. Hyde.
Give him his due.
Yeah.
Give him his due.
So from like a villain standpoint, drama standpoint, man drama standpoint, I loved having Rated R around.
Yeah, he's funny. I mean, I don't like the girlfriend thing. That's trashy. No. And then I thought it was funny on the little interview when he's like, did you have a girlfriend at home? And he's like, did I have someone at home I had feelings with? Yeah, you want to call her a girlfriend? Like, okay, fine, call her a girlfriend. Like, it's been 10 years, dude. Just say yes.
And they had the voicemails and everything.
That was sketchy. I can't believe they played all those. Like, did he sign off on that?
I feel like ABC just owns you at that point.
That's true.
So, I don't know. So, on the other side of the coin, because the rivalry was really between Casey and Rated R, and we'll build up to the two-on-one date that they had with him. But let's talk a little bit about Casey.
Wild.
This guy, I mean, first of all, Mr. Mumble. Weirdo.
Yes. His voice was so weird to me. Like, there's no way I could fall in love with someone that's voice was like that. Something, like, I just can't. With his voice.
It was a little off-putting. Well, his speaking voice was bad, but his singing voice, arguably worse.
I honestly didn't think his singing voice was that terrible.
Oh my God, it was so... But you're also like, oh, Jed sounds pretty good.
I just always like to feel like, you know, they're trying.
He was so bad. So bad. That might have been the worst vocal performance I've heard on any...
It was a little painful, but it was very painful. And you know what else is painful?
Well, hold on.
That was the perfect segue and you just ruined it.
Oh, no, hold on. I want to talk more about this particular thing first. I had a lot of things with this. First of all, total cheese ball, like in a bad way. Like he overdid it.
She even said he was like basically too cheesy for her.
Yeah. I actually like the Night at the Museum date. I would have loved that. Like, that's we talk about dates that are like, these are Evan dates. That's I love museums. They're so cool.
I honestly also love museums. I think they're great.
But at some point, he, like, looked over to her when they were cuddling next to the T-Rex bones, and he was like, I choose you. Like, well, no shit. Like, who the
fuck? Yeah, she's the only one here.
Like, you want that or that Neanderthal over there in Exhibit A? Like, no, of course you're going to choose her. Then he said that line that I had at the top of my show, or at the top of our show.
Whoa! At the top of your show. We see how Evan really feels, everyone. There's proof that Evan thinks it's his.
Yeah. People know. where he's like, it's just my heart. Jump in and stay a while. Like, that was corny. So she calls him out on, you know, not being fully sincere. He's maybe trying a little too hard. So his reaction is, I'm gonna go get this tattoo on my wrist.
A tattoo!
And then the funniest part was Rated R knew, like, this guy's full of shit.
Yeah.
And put him out on it. And then Casey Kale's like, you, like, testing my integrity? Like, are you doubting that, you know, I burned myself? And then they asked him, like, what degree burn it was. And he was like, oh, you know, just one of those burns. Not really sure.
Just one of those burns.
And eventually it's brought to light that, A, he does not have integrity. And he went to go get a tattoo of a heart with a rose covered by a shield. And I figure it's time to let you know, Allison, that, you know, I'm really into this podcast, and I'm glad we did this together.
Your podcast. You're really into your podcast.
And I too, went to go get a tattoo.
Wow.
So.
That's beautiful.
It's right here. It's a microphone covered by a shield with two roses in it to shout out the two roses segment we usually do in our normal seasons that you love so dearly.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
Wow, that looks fantastic.
Yeah.
What an honor.
So I told everyone it was a 98 degree burn.
My God.
So anyway.
Good, great.
So yeah, so ultimately Rated R, Casey, 2-on-1 date.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out with Rated R going, or actually, no, I think Allie said this. She goes, all Casey has to do is be normal.
Is be normal. Yeah, she said all he has to do is be normal.
The fact that that's the standard should tell
such
you
a low standard.
That this guy is out. I kind of was hoping that the loser of the 2-on-1 date would have to get thrown into the volcano. I think that's an unexplored area of the Bachelor franchise that we need to, you know, take those steps.
My favorite thing in the world is the, like, awkward and uncomfortable, like, places and positions that people are left in after 2-on-1 dates.
Yeah.
Like deserted on islands, like stranded on a glacier. Like, I don't know, random stuff where it's just like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. And I don't know if they're like trying to give the illusion that, oh, they're just stranded there now. Like, everyone knows that we just.
I know that.
Helicopter comes by and picks them up. So, I don't know. I really liked the man drama happening with those two. I think they're just such characters. Like,
and they feel like they still are characters. Like, they were showing them today, and I'm like, I feel like you're the same person.
They haven't changed one bit.
And so Casey, when he was talking, I'm going to be honest with you, like, they're talking to Casey, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy is such a whack job. And then they were like, and here's his wife and kid. And I was, or here's his wife and, he had a kid, right?
I think so. I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember if he was one of the ones that had a kid. I thought he did, but his wife. And I was like, oh my God. And then they showed how he got his tattoo changed to the date with him and his wife's anniversary is under it now. I was like, oh my God.
So lame.
Wild.
So yeah, I enjoyed that. Let's move on to Frank.
Frank was an interesting choice for her. I don't know.
I think he was different from most people, definitely most people on this season, but I think just most people in general. Super quirky, like kind of.
Yeah, more of like kind of your quote unquote nerdy type, I would say.
Yeah, and you know, these are the guys that I root for.
Always rooting for the, yeah, but she like really, really loved Frank.
Well, in the interview at the end, she was like, honestly, it probably would have been Frank if.
Yep.
He didn't still have feelings for his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Which
often where people are like, oh, I need to go get closure with my ex, and I end up being like, kind of.
I think a lot more people need closure with their past relationships than you'd think. Like, obviously, we're ready to come on a show like this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I will say that I respect Frank for coming to her with it soon as he realized.
Oh, yeah.
Soon as he came to the realization of, like, this is how I feel, he immediately told her the truth. And, like, she was pissed about it just because of how into him she was, but I feel like he handled it, like, the best possible way you can handle a situation like this.
No, I totally agree. I think they both handled it with, like, as much class as they both could.
Absolutely.
I sort of wondered, too, like, with his ex, I'm assuming she's like, yes, come back into my life, because that's kind of weird. Like, oh, you went on this dating show instead.
Well, I think what it really was like they started dating and he was like, look, I'm going on the show.
Yeah.
But like ended up developing more feelings for her than he thought. So he was just kind of like, whatever, I'm going on the show. And then the more he was getting to be involved with Allie, things about her probably like reminded him of the other girl where he's like, wait, shit, I actually like her too.
Yeah.
But I respect him. I feel like he handled it well.
I did too. And then he's now married / girlfriend, has something going on with him.
Yes.
Like everyone has found somebody else at some
point. Yes. Everyone was in a relationship or was married or has babies or whatever. So glad to see everyone's moving on. 10 years later, I would hope they would.
Another guy who made it pretty far was the runner-up, Chris.
Yeah, so Chris, and now he has like a show on HGTV. I can't remember what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But him and his wife, Peyton, who
is
another Bachelor person, are a pretty big Bachelor couple people love. Chris is a good dude. I really like Chris. And he's just so normal and chill and just was like very in touch with his feelings, which I liked. But like, I don't know. I really, really liked Chris. And yeah, he was just a good guy.
Well, I think the story that he told about his mom and the rainbows.
Oh my God.
The fact that he saw one.
Like, I couldn't handle it.
When the relationship ended, I was like, man.
My mouth literally dropped open.
I'm a believer in like signs.
Oh, absolutely.
Things from the universe, and that was definitely one of them.
My mouth literally dropped open, and he was like, people ask me all the time, like, did ABC, like, you know, put that in there? Like, that was fake, right? And he's like, no, it was 100% real. But I love that, because it was like, he was sad, but like, immediately had this sign that was like, no, you're fine.
Yeah.
Good job, like, putting yourself out there. And I'm like, that is wild.
You know what else you probably loved is the fact that Allie broke up with him before.
Yes. Yes.
I've been fighting for this for years now. And it finally happened 10 years ago.
Cheers. Cheers all around. Yes. I love this. This is what I want every bachelor or bachelorette to do, is break up with the person you're not going to get engaged to before they get a ring in their pocket, put on their tux, go down there to get on a knee to ask you to marry them. Like, this is what everyone should do. Mm-hmm. This is Rachel Lindsay did this exact same thing. I don't know if her season's going to be on, but she did this too. And although I liked the person she didn't pick better, I think this is the better way to do it. I think that it's a lot more respectful to tell someone that it's not them when they are not literally like a second away from getting down on a knee to propose to you.
Yeah. And I feel like similar to the Frank situation, like, this was handled very well by both parties.
I agree.
So
kudos. It was like the nicest breakup ever.
Yeah.
For being like the final one, and like, they were like, they loved each other. It was really nice.
Yeah. So kudos to them. So that leaves us with the one, Roberto. Who I was a big fan of because he was just salsa dancing.
Of course.
A lot of times, so I respect that. They had one of the earlier dates, which I was so like perplexed about, was the high wire date that they went on. So obviously, like, the mechanics of it, they were strapped in, like, on chains and stuff. They weren't going to fall no matter how hard they tried.
Like, they didn't even, ass.
But they didn't even, like, try to attempt to really do the high wire.
No.
Like, they were holding hands, which, like, that's instant. You're falling down the minute you even
reach. Why would you even hold hands? It's like when people hold hands when they're ice skating. I'm like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
I hate it.
And they, like, stopped in the middle and leaned over and kissed and, like, yeah.
I had so much anxiety during that part.
Like, even Nick Wallenda wouldn't be able to do that. And he's the guy, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly.
He's the high wire guy.
And the high wire guy.
This and throwing tomatoes at the TV. I don't know. But that was weird to me. But they work out. I mean, in the season.
Well, they did for sure.
On the end.
I feel like it was pretty obvious she was going to pick him. Like, I mean, she pretty much from the beginning was like, I love him. He's great. He's so hot. He's the best. He's great. And then she was like, I love him. Like, I don't know. I feel like it was pretty obvious.
Well, she did say in her interview afterwards that had the Frank thing not happened, like, it might have been Frank. But when the Frank thing did happen, she kind of, like, that was her safety net in a way. Roberto was her safety net. I like how she threw in the Spanish with him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Fan of just throwing in Spanish.
Of course. As
you can. I know you do too, because you're a Spanish tutor in a past life.
Of course. I like too that like Allie is one of the, I mean, I don't know. I feel like when they do their little interviews, everyone's always nice. But I feel like she was the only one who was like, yeah, I've been in touch with Roberto for years. It's great. He's engaged, I heard. And, you know, I wish him the best. He's such a great guy. Like, he's so nice. Like, she didn't have a bad word to say at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, I would say, with the minor exception of Rated R, has been the classiest season. But do you have a different superlative?
No, I was going to say the nicest. Just because I feel like all of her breakups were, like, so nice.
Yeah. Or the most man drama. Say a lot. Also, I think Allie might have had the cutest kids. And I'm pretty sure, like, the daughter was, like, 3 and said, oh, that's Mr. Harrison.
That's so cute.
Melted my achy breaky heart. Before we go, we have one little segment thing that we're going to do tonight. So we had a good friend of ours sent us a article from Cosmo, which I read all the time.
I love it from Cosmo.
I have to know what my sex horoscopes are.
Gotta know.
The article was something on the lines of like, here are the 50 crazy rules that Bachelor contestants must follow. So what we're going to do is we're going to find 5 rules that we think the other person will struggle with the most.
Yes. I had to pull my list up.
While you're pulling your list up, I'm going to go first.
Okay.
We'll just go back and forth. One okay. Tip for tat. mine, first one for you, is self.
I know what you're going to pick for me. I know all the ones you're going to pick.
Oh, okay.
I picked out which ones I thought you were going to pick for me as well.
Interesting. Okay. So cell phones are confiscated is number one.
Yeah.
You got no TikTok. You've got no messages.
You had me on no TikTok. I would never make it that with that much downtime without TikTok. No thanks. Hard pass.
So I don't know if you could function without a cell phone.
No, I don't think so. No,
that is my first one for you.
Yeah, probably could work on how attached I am to my phone, but
we all could.
There's so many TikToks out there for me to watch.
Honestly, so this is Bachelor related. So at the job that I have, I had to audit influencers for a client that we work with. Mm-hmm. One of these influencers was Katie Morton.
I know.
So what we had, or what I had to do, was look at all of her Instagram posts, Twitter posts, and TikToks for the past year.
What a dream.
And I got to her TikTok, and I love Katie. I don't get TikTok. It's not for me. I don't.
You just haven't spent enough time with TikTok.
What is the purpose? It doesn't entertain me. I don't get any satisfaction out of it. I think the dances are funny.
I've gotten great recipes. I have bought $1 billion worth of skincare products because of TikTok.
No.
I love TikTok.
I'm out. It's just, I understand that people like it.
I've had it for a while. Like, I think I remember getting TikTok in like October because Halloween related TikToks are like the first thing I remember seeing. Yeah. But I don't think I really paid much attention to it until quarantine. Because then I feel like is when TikTok really
went
up. Okay, but anyway, yes, that I would have no way could I not have my phone for that long. No.
All right.
Thanks.
Cool.
First for you, hands down, no questions asked, is no music.
Oh God.
You would die.
I would.
Music.
Oh jeez, I couldn't do it. If I could make it a day without hearing
something. That's what I'm saying. Speaking of, everyone, please go listen to Folklore. New Taylor Swift album is.
Oh, it slaps. It slaps.
It's
so
literally incredible. If I could listen to Exile with Taylor Swift and Bon Iver for the rest of my life every single day on repeat, I would. And I might. What'd I say?
Bon Iver?
Oh, Bon Iver, whatever. I don't know.
Also, so that album was co-produced and some songs were written by a guy from The National, which is a local
sensation. Oh, yeah.
So yeah. It sounds super indie. It's not the usual Taylor Swift stuff. She's kind of been progressing towards this.
I'm really into this kind of indie.
We're digressing here to a Taylor Swift podcast, but where do you rank this on her discography?
Ooh, very good question. I will never ever like an album more than I liked 1989. 1989 will be my favorite album for the rest of my life. It's just every single song on that album is like perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But Folklore is definitely top 3.
Okay. Is it ahead or behind Red? I feel like those are the top 3 for most people.
I don't know. I know, but I also like Speak Now. Like that was like an oldie that I really enjoy that album as well. But Folklore is just so different that I'm really into it. It might be my second favorite. Nothing will top 1989. Like for the rest of, like that is her best album.
Yeah. On 1989 as well. And then Folklore and then probably Red, and then I'd stop listening to the rest of her stuff because after that, it's not much good. However,
What'd you say?
I said, but Teardrops on My Guitar.
Oh, slaps.
It's every time.
Every time. Last little tidbit about Taylor Swift, and we'll go back to the actual podcast, is that her song Betty, which is my, like, another top favorite of mine from the album.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people speculated that it was her announcing the name of Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively's third child.
Yeah.
And that is confirmed that is true.
Man.
She just always sliding in little secret messages. I love it.
Sneaky. Okay. Okay,
next.
So next one for you. You must forfeit the rights to your own wedding.
Yeah, that would be.
I don't think you'd be cool with that.
No go. No go.
What I would hope would happen, though, if you forfeited the rights to this wedding of yours, that this time I get to be invited to your wedding. Because I don't know if you guys know this out there, but Allison and I are really good friends, right? You would say that.
Acquaintances.
Okay, whatever. It's taking a back, apparently. But I was not invited.
So the next one I have for you is, I'm just going to say both at once because they're very connected, is that you have to have permission to watch movies. Like, if you couldn't watch any Fast and Furious movies for that long, jeez, man.
Oof. I know we digress. Every time we do this, we digress into another thing. So I've been keeping track of all the movies I've watched during quarantine. I watched 32 movies so far.
That's like my book count.
It's like your book count, but for people who are less ambitious. The most recent one I watched, which I should recommend for everybody, is called Money Plane.
Oh, God.
This movie is insane.
Never heard of that in my life.
So it is like Fast and Furious with like Con Air, but also with like a $12 budget and the same like dialogue you would get in a 90s porno. Like it's,
oh, wow. That sounds really special.
So bad. It's only an hour and 22 minutes. Acting really horrendous. It is a great, bad movie. Everyone should go see it.
Okay. What a good endorsement.
Money Plane.
In addition to my permit, no watching movies, I just tacked this on, the whole, like, also not watching TV. Because okay, then you can watch Top Chef, and I'm counting also you can't watch basketball.
Yeah, that was...
So, you would not have a good time.
Nope, I would not. Okay, then I'll give you one.
Okay.
You also can't watch TV.
Yeah, nope, forget
I think,
it.
I think you got your shows that you binge. You've got your Housewives that you watch.
Yeah.
No, not here. Not in the Bachelor.
Yeah, what? I can't watch Bravo. I can't watch HGTV. Like, forget it. My next one for you is that you can't actually eat the food.
Oh, God, I love eating food.
Well, you love food. You are a little top chef yourself. You like cooking food. You like eating food. You would not be able to sit there with, like, delicious-looking food in front of you and for them to be like, you're not going
to
eat this.
So here's my counterpoint to that, is that you will have everyone in the mansion has to make their own food.
Well, you would like that.
Oh, I would love that. I'm cooking
cooking up stuff for everyone.
I'm cooking for the cast. I'm cooking for production.
Yeah.
Obviously cooking for myself. It's gonna be great. So I think I would actually like that more.
I will say that last time I went to do this pod, when me and Evan did this podcast in person, he made us some little chicken burritos and coconut rice, and the burritos were absolutely fantastic. I will say. They were delightful.
Sure. Thank you for the recognition.
Mm-hmm. I will give it when it is due. Okay, so then my last one for you.
Get to your next one?
Oh, yeah, because I do two at a time. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You only get 2 to 3 suitcases. I feel like you're such an overpacker, and you would stress out so much about what should go into these 2 to 3 suitcases.
Yes.
It would take you days. You would just crumble. You would call everyone around you and be like, what should I put in here?
I am such an overpacker. And I also like despise packing. Like I hate packing. It is the worst. And having to bring 3 months of clothes for any sort of activity, weather, climate option, and backups, and like 16 ball gowns or however many, 30 ball gowns or whatever. Like, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
A story about packing. This is back to the NBA. So obviously, similar to how they're doing the Bachelor bubble, there is an NBA bubble down in Orlando, Florida. One player only brought 7 pairs of underwear. And he's like, yeah, I just have one for each day. But then he's like, oh, I didn't realize how many times I'd be showering from all this basketball I'm playing. Oh,
my God.
So, classic J.R. Smith.
That's hilarious.
Anyways, move on.
All right, my last one for you is that you wouldn't be able to tell anyone that you were cast. Because if you got cast, you'd be so freaking hyped that you would want to tell every person immediately.
Who do you think I would tell?
Me.
I can only tell three people.
Okay.
Who do you think I'd tell?
I think you would tell Brendan.
Okay.
Your roommate and best friend. I think you would tell your mom.
Okay.
And me.
That's right.
Yay! I feel like you feel an obligation to tell me. I like to think it's because you care about my opinions, but it's really just because you feel an obligation because I probably helped you through application to get you on the show in the first place. And so you probably feel obligated, and Brendan, obviously, and your mom. So
I think that's accurate.
I think that's the group.
Okay. So you said that you have mapped out the five that I think that you think I'm going to pick for you, correct?
Yes.
So I've got one more. What do you think is the next one?
No books.
Ah, no. See, you didn't read the whole...
It said no magazines, technically, but, like, the headline said no books, and I was like, Evan's going to read that this says no books, and he's going to put this down.
I read the whole thing.
I also read a lot of magazines, though, so...
The day, apparently, starts very early.
I knew you were going to pick that one.
I knew. I just asked you, and you didn't get it right.
I know, but I knew that was going to be one of the ones that you were going to pick.
So, you're not a morning person.
No, I don't like to wake up early.
Back when we were coworkers, we'd be like, okay, when's Allison going to get here? 9:05, 9:10.
I do not like to get up early. I do not like to start the day early. I'm not like a sleep until noon guy, but I'm like I like to wake up at 9 o'clock guy. That is, like, I do not like to get up early.
Yeah, so.
I'm not into it.
I saw that, and I was like, this actually might be the most Allison one. I think she would struggle with this one.
I don't think they sleep barely at all in this damn show, because they film rose ceremonies, like, into the night. Mm-hmm. And you have to get up early, and I just don't think that lifestyle would work for me.
Yeah, probably not.
Especially when I can't even watch TikToks but maybe I'd sleep more, because I can't watch TV or TikToks. So maybe I'd go to bed earlier.
You just stay up an extra hour and a half each night watching TikToks.
Is this true? This is 100% accurate.
There are times where I wake up to a text in the morning.
I'm like 1:30.
1:12 a.m. And it's some TikTok that I don't really understand, but I'm like, oh, haha, so funny.
TikToks, you just don't get it. You just really need to give it more of a try.
I just don't get it. It's, like I said, it's not for me, which is fine. So what is probably for me and for a lot of the people that are listening here is, sticking around, listening to us. And what's a good way for them to do that, Allison?
Oh, I'm rolling my eyes very, very, very hard. But you can follow us on social media at Batch Please Pod on Twitter and on Instagram.
Well, I was saying, if they want to keep listening to us, how they keep listening to us, you got to do something on the phone that's not confiscated.
What?
Subscribe.
Evan, just say it. Stop trying to make me say stuff.
You gotta subscribe and rate.
Subscribe and rate. Or you can follow us on social media at Batch Please Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or email us batchpleasepod@gmail.com. Also, you make me say those every episode. Do you even know what our email and social handles are?
I didn't even know we had one.
You always pivot it to me, and I kind of feel like you might not actually know.
Nope. First of all, I didn't get a Gmail until like 3 months ago. Like, for myself.
Yeah, I have a fuse.net.
I had to, for my Gmail, I had to like put my name, my middle initial, my last name, and my birth year all before the @gmail.com, because every other permutation of my name and initials was already taken.
Well, yeah, because we've all had Gmails, Evan, since high school.
Well, I'm late to the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Either way, I don't know what our handles are.
But you do know who next week's episode is about.
It is. It's Jason Mezick. And I've actually watched like 7 or 8 of his
episodes. Yes. So I would say Evan like started watching the season and then just like didn't finish watching it. But I will say Jason Mezick is actually one of the most dramatic seasons of all time.
Yeah. That's kind of a problem with me, is I start shows and I don't finish them.
I don't understand how you can do that. I cannot. It's like people who start a book and don't finish it. That's not a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
finish it.
I get to a point with shows where I'm like, okay, I get what this is about. I don't need to see the end of it. Like, I haven't seen the end of Parks and Rec, the last season.
What?
I haven't watched the last season of New Girl. I think I'm 2 episodes behind on the finale of Silicon Valley. The list goes on and on.
That's honestly very painful, and you really need to finish those shows. That's actually very stressful.
Called Out from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I just actually caught up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
And I love that show. I just don't have time for it. I'm exclusive to Top Chef and basketball these days. So, anyways. Well, it's late.
It is late. It's almost time to go start watching TikToks, everyone. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.